everybody. Hello, happy Tuesday. We're going to be talking about Single Life Part 3 of the Tell All. We got 4 and 5 coming up. Kara and Didi are joining us today. There's a little bit to talk about. This was an interesting part of the Tell All. We got to see some stuff with Tyrae. We got to see some stuff with Boston John and Megan. Oh, Didi. Oh, there she is. There she is. Car's here. So we're going to jump right in. We're a day late, guys, because of Easter, but we're still going to be talking about all this craziness. Hi.
Hi. How are you? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, there you are. Hello, Kara.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Hi, Kara.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
So this Part 3 of the tell-all, I want to get into the situation with timelines and hey, Lexi, hey, Dana, hey, Portuguese Princess, hi, everybody, South Bunny's here, hey, South Bunny, hey, TJ, I want to get into the subject of timelines and location sharing because we learned a little bit of a new, I don't know, narrative with Megan. So Megan is kind of jealous, you know, and we were under the impression that possibly John was going to be the issue in the relationship. And now we're learning that Megan is kind of questioning where he is, what he's doing, how long he's at jobs, because he installs, I want to say security systems, because that's kind of, I think that's what Patrick does. They did it together back when they were living together. So how do we feel about Megan checking his location and then like calling jobs that he's at and asking him why he's still there? And the trust situation, because I'm kind of interested in knowing, because she kind of also was the one that pressured him into moving. I don't think he was ready. So I think that, I don't know. I want to get your opinion on how you guys feel about this situation.
I mean, Patrick and Thais did the same thing. It's just different because they had a long distance relationship and he's a playboy. So I'm sure she's got trust issues. But I think it'll stop once she realizes he's on bended knee.
But do you think that her trust issues are warranted because of him being a playboy?
I don't think so. I don't think that.
Nope.
I mean, you don't have trust. You, what do you have?
I mean, it's interesting to me because she wanted him to move in with her. She wanted to make him a part of her and her daughter's life. And then once he got there, John is telling Patrick that there's a lot of trust issues, so it's raising my eyebrow a little bit, you know, because she.
I don't think she had trust issues until Patrick started talking.
Oh, so you think when she met Patrick and Thais and they had nothing but negative things to say about him, that's when she started to have her doubts.
Yep.
And it's funny because Patrick was still talking pretty negatively about John. At the tell-all, he's like, oh, he's not ready to be a stepdad, and, you know, I don't think he should have kids, and it's like, those are pretty bold statements, you know, to come from somebody that's your family, somebody who should be speaking more highly of you. They should have a little more optimism about your life, right? Hey, Diva Speaks, and I feel like Patrick has kind of been coming in full force against his brother, which makes me wonder, because we know that they don't live together anymore. It makes me question, where is their relationship now? It seems like they're definitely not as close as they were before Thais arrived, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I think my theory is, this is my theory, okay? The girl got hooked up with someone that's on national TV. Of course she's going to be jealous because she needs some TLC checks.
Yeah.
So she's going to be overly jealous because if she can stay with John, be on numerous shows, that's numerous TLC checks. Because there's no way she is attracted to John.
I like what you said. When John was explaining how they got together, he said that they were out and she approached him. So I'm assuming she recognized him.
Yeah.
So now that theory makes a lot of sense because she saw him in Vegas. I don't know what she was doing in Vegas or whatever. And she approached him. She started the relationship. She wanted to date him. She wanted him to come visit her. She never visited him. And then she convinced him to come move in with her.
Wait, I thought She said she slid into his DMs.
Oh, is that what happened? So she slid into his DMs. So yeah, she knew who he was.
Right. And so assuming that since he answered her, she's got to assume that he's answering all the other girls that are messaging him.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when you're dating a person who's on national TV regularly and they're a personality, a reality star, there's going to always be trust issues. Because it's like, if they have unlimited DMs, you know, people always, I think we learned this from Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy always used to say, oh, I got all these women, all these people in my DMs, all these women that want me. You should be lucky that I'm even giving you the time of day. And it's like, I don't know how that is going to affect a woman's self-esteem and her value, telling her something like that. Like, it's always on edge. Like, is this the day that he gets their DM and he's going to leave me? You know, like, yeah. I can't imagine what that's like for a woman. So the fact that she slid into his DMs and then she has the trust issue, it does make sense. Because like you said, he answered you. He probably answered the girl before you, right? And before y'all got really serious, he probably answered the girl after you too. So it's like tracking his phone and tracking his location. I still think tracking people in general is not a good practice for a healthy relationship. I think that if you can't trust the person sight unseen, break up. Like, that's just my opinion. I think, like, because if you're going out of your way to stalk the person you're with, it means that you think that they're capable of doing something terrible. Cheat on you, lie to you, be somewhere that they're not. All of those things are not okay ever. So if you think that it's possible, you're actually stressing yourself out and the relationship is already over. You're now in, like, a stalking relationship with them now. Like, you're not really in a relationship.
I don't even know how to share my location, so.
Wait.
Well, I just know that she's not attracted to him. Because all she sees is the dollar signs. And then if she realizes or knows how wealthy Patrick and Thais is, I mean, of course, she's going to try to wiggle her way in there.
Yep.
Yeah, Sal, funny. She says she had issues, trust issues every week. But I want to say she said, like, twice a week.
Every week is what she said.
Yeah, like, they're fighting over things.
Every couple weeks.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's a lot. Like, she says, like, oh, are you looking at this person? Or who are you texting? You know, those are early on dating issues, right? Like, not, like, we are living together issues. Like, if you don't know who they're texting, y'all shouldn't be living together, right? Like, yeah. I feel like you have a little more trust than that. Because we were watching Rob and Sophie. They're married, or were married. He was texting and sexting girls left and right, you know, even after they got, like, this wasn't anything that he ever was going to plan to stop doing. So I feel like you got to be really careful. But I also feel like, because we had this conversation too about checking phones. If you have to wait for somebody to go to sleep to go through their phone, just break up.
Yeah.
You know, like, just break up, because they're literally doing things behind your back, and then you have to go behind their back to find the truth. Just break up. Don't waste any more of your time. It's like a huge red flag. And if they think that they can do it and get away with it, they already have broken up with you mentally. Like, they're already doing it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much.
So Natalie said that she doesn't want to bring a child into this toxic situation. That was what she said on the tell-all last night. And she was saying that Josh sleeps with her with no explanation. Like, she wants to know what's going on. And I think in her mind, there's no courting, you know, like in America, I guess in other countries too, there's called something called hooking up, right? Like, people, they're kind of dating, but they're really not. They can be like dating you and a couple other people, and y'all can be hooking up. And there's no expectations between the two of you. And I think now, being from the Ukraine, if a man is interested in her, he's supposed to be interested in marrying her. And I think there's no in between. So, like, when a man shows any interest whatsoever or wants to sleep with her, she's like, oh, well, we should have a family, we should get married, we should have children, and she jumps the gun, and then the man is completely freaked out by, you know, the way that she's approaching the relationship. Because it's not even that she wants a relationship. Like, on the first date, what didn't she say, like, on the first date with Josh, he was asking if he wanted kids or not?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Like, she was like, do you want to have kids? Like, if we were to get married, how many kids do you want? That was the first date. So the fact that he's still even around...
Even her last three husbands didn't want a kid with her. Like,
well,
you're sitting there bitching that you have you've got no house, you've got no income, you're trying to support your mom, blah, blah, blah. A child is the last thing you should be thinking about. You don't even have a man. Like,
well, you know why she's trying to get a child.
Oh, yeah, so she can lock it.
She can get free money.
Yeah, absolutely.
She doesn't want a child because she wants a child. She wants a child because she wants free money.
Yep, but nobody wants to lock it in. Like,
that's why she's doing the IVF. That's why she's not doing the IVF, because if she does the IVF, she can't take the sperm donor to court for child support. She doesn't want to do that. She has to find somebody that has money that can support her and her mom and live off of child support and getting free money from America.
Also, I'm harvesting
the American dollar.
Also, IVF is like $70,000. How is she going to do that?
So I assume she was going to go the turkey baster route, right? Like, I don't think that she's, but again, turkey baster route, she would have to know the guy, because how could you get it? Yep. But, you know, I'm not, this is going to get graphic, but I'm surprised that she hasn't tried to harvest anything out of any of the used condoms from her previous times with Josh. Like, I feel like that's not above her. I'm surprised that she hasn't tried, right? Like, at this point, I feel like it's what, by any means necessary. And I'm just surprised, unless he's smart and he flushes them down the after. Because if he's definitely leaving them around, I'm just really surprised that she hasn't tried anything. Like, honestly.
She probably has, but she's so nuttily that she hasn't done it correctly yet.
Well, you know, it doesn't work every time. That's why a lot of people who do IVF are like $100,000 in. It doesn't, you know, you could do it and it's not successful. You do everything right. You do the shots. You have the right diet. They do it at the right time. It doesn't take every time. It only seems to take when it's a teenager and her boyfriend and they're having sex for the first time.
Yes.
First time, it's going to ruin that girl's life. But when you're really ready and trying as an adult, you're not going to get it on the first try. It's just God has a really funny sense of humor, right? Like, he's really, really funny when it comes to that type of stuff. Oh, so Tyrae met this girl in New Orleans. He didn't know her name, but it turns out her name is Shannon. And they've been talking on social media. And I went on her social media account today. Her name is nowhere on the account. So before I tear into Tyrae, for the display name, it says, like, I am that girl. Her screen name, nothing to do with Shannon whatsoever. So I'm going to go ahead and give Tyrae a pass. So if he was drunk or drinking or it was a nightclub situation, it's very possible he didn't know his name. And then I ain't going to lie to y'all. There were times where people, I met them and we had interacted more than once and I couldn't remember their name. I was not going to ask them, like, the fourth or fifth time we saw each other. So yeah. I could not ask them, hey, by the way, what's your name? I forgot. So I'm not going to tear into him for that. But what I didn't really like the way they pressured him into doing his first kiss on camera. I felt like it was really, I don't know, middle school. Like, I don't like that. And even if he wanted that to be his first kiss, they should have let him do it in private. I don't know. Yeah. It kind of felt like bullying to me. I don't know. It just was a really weird vibe for me, right?
Yep. I wouldn't want my first kiss to be on national television where everyone's telling, do it. Like, no, that doesn't seem romantic. That doesn't seem sweet.
He looked really nervous.
Yeah. I don't know. That's another one that is a red flag to me.
Who, Shannon?
Yeah.
Well, she went behind his back because he didn't know that she was going to be at the tell-all. So that was a little weird for me.
Yeah.
So she went behind his back and reached out or whatever, because I'm not exactly sure how the producers would have got her information without her reaching out behind his back. And then showed up at the tell-all. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of shady to do in the beginning of a relationship.
I mean,
she
went. They're not in a relationship.
Well, right. They're just talking. You're right. There's no relationship at all yet.
She went behind his back and she stole Miss Karen's clothes.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about the boob that was trying to make an appearance last night. So that dress. You know, that I think on Twitter they called it the runaway boob. It was trying to run away, it was trying to escape her shirt. It was a lot. I was super nervous. I was like, oh my God, is it gonna pop out? Like, it was really, really close to popping out. I was like, they would edit it, right? They would edit, they blur it, right? Like, we're not gonna be like subjected to this, right? But it didn't, it really wanted to come out. It was really scary, because every time she said something, it moved closer to coming out of there. I was like, I'm really nervous. Like, this is making me nervous.
Oh, well, not, I don't know. There's Barry to pop out and slap Tyree in the face.
That might have been Tyree's first live move, guys. You know, that might. And again, that shouldn't be on camera. That should be something he gets to do privately, right? Like, we don't all need to be there. We don't need to witness his first time, right? Like, this is not that much party.
I personally think that they're still together.
Well, I heard that too. But I checked her Instagram account today. She's not following him. That doesn't mean anything, because I know back in the day they used to ask you not to follow each other before we knew if people were still together or not. So that doesn't mean anything. You don't have to be following somebody to text them on the phone or to send them a DM. So it's very possible that he sees someone, because on one of his TikTok lives, somebody asked him something about your relationship status, and he said, I'm talking to someone. This was like a month ago, right?
He actually said, somebody on the one that I saw, I don't know if it's Instagram or TikTok, but someone said, are you dating? And then somebody came back with, he can't answer that. And then Tyree read the comments and he said, am I dating? Yes. And I can't say who, you'll just have to watch the tell-all.
Yeah. It's probably her. I'm happy for him. I'm very happy for him. Oh wait, Dana says that we have to talk about.
Hold on, Dee Dee's about to explode. Let Dee Dee explode for a minute.
If Tyree, I'm sorry, but if Tyree is still with her, he is crazy, because she is one of the biggest red flags. Instead of having a yellow dress on, she should have had on a red dress.
Go on.
I'm telling you.
I want to hear more. What is the flag? What's the red flag? What is it?
What is the red flag?
Yeah.
They were out drinking at a bar. She approached him, and then like Cara just said, she had to have reached out to TLC or somehow or another for them to get her information, because they weren't even filming. They didn't have any way possible to know that they were even talking. So how did TLC even know she exists?
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. So yeah, I get it. So she was networking through his contacts, basically, is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
Behind his back. I mean, I see that. You know, it makes me wonder. But it's hard though, when these people go on national TV, when you meet somebody, it's like 100% chance they recognize you and they know who you are. So you don't really know what their intentions are. Because even the people who used to say, like, oh, I didn't know who they were at first. You lying. You knew who they were. You saw them. You approached them. You inserted yourself in the situation. And now you're on my TV. That's the plan. Like, don't pretend. Don't lie. I can smell a lie from like a mile away. I know you're lying. And when people say that, so when she said she approached him, it made sense, because anybody who watches the show knows that Tyree has never approached somebody on his own. And Tyree is the big teddy bear that everybody loves. So if you see him, you recognize him, you up to him, and it's a pretty given situation that's going to get you on TV. And look, it did. It got right on the tell-all, right on the third part, you know, right for everybody to see her and her boob, right? So she got what she wanted, and she got that check. So, and if they're still dating, we might see them somewhere else. So this might be a smart move for her. Oh, wait, Dana wants us to talk about the proposal. I didn't talk about the proposal, so I want to get your opinion on John proposing to Megan at the tell-all. Do you feel like this was planned, because he had a ring already? Do you feel like this was planned? Do you feel like it was spontaneous?
Part of the timeline. Sometimes
men have the ring on them, but they're like nervous and they don't know if they're gonna really do it. Do you think that he really did it because he wanted to, or do you think he did it because everybody said he wanted to do it?
He knew he was gonna do it. It was so staged.
Well, I felt like it was interesting the way everybody was discussing the timeline and how he wasn't ready to commit, and then all of a sudden he was ready to commit. It seemed like it fit really well. Yep. You know, like producers are like, oh, well, Patrick.
I'm trying and to prove Patrick wrong. I think he's trying to shut Patrick up. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
But I don't think he really wanted to propose to her because he said it over and over and over again. He don't like to be rushed into doing anything.
Yep.
He kept saying it over and over again. So I think it's a timeline that she keeps putting on him, and I think it was just to shut Patrick up.
That's a bad reason to do something. You know, like, you should do it because you're ready, and Patrick doesn't think you're ready. Let Patrick, what do you want to think? Who cares? There were people who said to Patrick when he was bringing Thais over that he wasn't ready to get married, if you remember correctly. There were people who doubted him, too. Let people doubt you, you know? But you don't have to propose to someone or settle down to prove that you're ready. If you're ready, you're ready. And I gotta say this, I was surprised when John said that he was still in San Antonio. I didn't think that he was gonna last this long in this type of situation because it was such a lifestyle change, you know, because like Megan said, she gets up early every morning, she's gotta take care of her, get her dressed, get her ready for school. Like, this is a full-time job, you know, for a child. There's no staying out late and drinking the night before. Like, this is a very involved lifestyle, you know, when you have a child. So I was very surprised that he was still around. And I, you know what people say, when you're ready to settle down and find the right person, you make the changes for that person. And maybe he's just ready. I know you guys probably think this isn't the right person for him. I'm not 100% sold that she's the right person. Like, to be honest, I don't know a lot about her, but I'm not sold that she's the right person for him either.
I'm not either.
She won that TLC money. That's and everybody can see right through it. I mean, there's no way possible. There's some things that was in the season that proves that she is not into him. First of all, y'all haven't seen each other for how long? And he drives how many hours to be with you? And then all of a sudden he has to sleep in a separate room, but you're complaining and you're griping and complaining every day that you want to be in the same room with him, but he's not allowed to sleep with you.
Yeah.
And
I don't know.
She's putting all these rules and regulations. And then she's putting all these timelines. Like, and then when she looks at him, you can tell, and Cara, correct me if I'm wrong, and ladies, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. When a woman, you can tell by the way a woman looks and acts around a man if she's really into him or not. And
absolutely,
Megan is not into John at all. No.
Megan's there for the money. That's that.
That's a lot. Like, to
hands down, she is not in him, not into him at all.
I mean, you know, I don't see things the way you see things, so it'll go right past me. So it's very possible that you're right. You usually are. So it's very possible that you're right. But
oh wait, we're getting to where we're right.
A lot. Yeah, you're right. We're getting to that point. And like I said, I lost a lot of money. If we were betting on this, I betted that he wasn't going to stick around as long as he did. So I don't know how she's sweetening the deal, you know, to make him believe that this is the real thing, right?
Yeah.
But he's still around. Okay, so people want to talk about the vampire act that Natalie went on. I don't know why. Why do you guys want to talk about that? So she did her act for a vampire in a movie for the show, and it was scary. And I didn't understand any of it. It was in Russian or Ukraine. So I didn't understand any of it. But I know a lot of people said that they wanted to understand why she picked that. And I think, in my opinion, it fits her personality. I think John called her the Wicked Witch of the West, right? Like, I feel like she was playing a role. It would be in a horror movie, right? That's her lane. And it's probably, or like one of those, you ever seen that show Snap, where it's like a lady who was normal and then she went and killed a whole bunch of people? Like, I feel like that would be Natalie. That would be her role. She would play the crazy lady that snapped. Yeah. She would do really well. Like, I don't want to say that she's a good actress, but for the right role, I think that she'd do a good job portraying somebody who's not all there, because it wouldn't even be acting at that point. It would just be anybody themselves on camera, right?
Yeah. She just said words. Moved her hands and said words. That's it.
That's not a vampire. I mean, have y'all not watched, or not y'all, I'm sorry, but has she not watch vampire movies? I mean, the ones that were had the tell all, have they not watched vampire movies? I mean, what did she do or what did she say to make us think that she is a vampire or could be in a vampire movie?
Yeah. None of that. None of that.
I mean, come on. The number one vampire movie, Twilight. I mean, come on. Did they act like that?
Right.
I don't remember. I think I only watched like the first one. I couldn't get it.
Anyone that's thinking about casting someone just watched that and said, you know what, we'll just cancel the whole movie and not even try.
Well, we know that Natalie has had absolutely zero luck in LA booking anything. And this is with the help of her contacts, which Josh, I can't prove that Josh actually has contacts. He says that he does. I can't prove that. Like, we don't know. He says that he can get her work, but there's only so much one person can do, right? Like, I feel like your word has to mean something. And if he's pitching her to people, people are going to stop answering the phone if he calls, right? Like,
absolutely.
People are going to say, well, don't answer the phone. He's nuts. Just like her. If
you think George, how is he supposed to help her get work when the only reason why she's wanting him to help her get work is so she can go and ask them all these questions about Josh? She's not even interested in working. She's just trying to dig into Josh's life, his past, where he's at, who he's with, where does he live, how much money does he make, like, how does he act when he's not around her, you know, why does he do this, why does he do that, who is he doing it with, and why are they doing it that way, how does he breathe, how does he sit, how does he lay, like, how does he do anything?
Yep.
I think that she is trying to make herself his main chick. And I think somebody said on Twitter last night, they were like, she's what you call a jump off. A jump off is the girl that a guy sleeps with. She's crazy, she's good in bed, but she's not, kind of like what John said, she's not marriage material. She's a good time when your wife is busy with the kids. And I think that's what she is. And she wants to insert herself as being the main chick. And I think her role is being a jump off. And I don't think that she doesn't align with what she wants, because she needs a man to take care of her all the time. And men don't typically do really nice things for the jump off. Like, don't get me wrong, I have to agree with what Tim said on the episode last night, because she was like, oh, well, he's ruined my life and he wasted my time. And he's like, well, let's be real. When you called him and you needed stuff, he picked up the phone.
Yeah.
Don't sit up here and act like this man has done anything for you. He put you in a house. He put you in a car. He was putting you in Ubers before you got the car. Like, don't sit up here and make it seem like this man was using you for sex. Like, he did a lot for you. And I did like that he stood up for Josh in that aspect, because she made it look like Josh was, like, hitting and running. And he was this horrible guy. And I'm like, well, he's not the best, but he's also not doing that. He's invested a lot in her. And she's acting like it's not enough. And that bothered me, because I was like, there are people who do need help, who do pick up the phone, and people don't offer any help. And I was like, he's done way more for you than he has had to do. And so I felt like her attacking him, like, oh, well, you don't want me to meet your kids. I'm like, well, he might not want you to meet his kids because of the way you act and the way that you question when you, like you said, Didi, when he sends her on a job interview, you question, like, personal questions about his life. And maybe the way that he reacted to his daughter's mom on that boat. Remember that? Like, he doesn't want you there because you start problems and you're going to make his life harder than it has to be. Because let's say that when him and his daughter's mom split, things weren't great. And now things are better. And then inserting you into the situation now are going to put back to where they started. Like, it might not necessarily mean that he's embarrassed of you or he doesn't want you in his life. It could just be you in general. It could be you or insert anyone. It's going to complicate things. Because when you have kids and you're divorced or you're not with the person and y'all trying to co-parent, adding different things into the situation can make it really difficult or complicated or complex, especially when y'all have gotten past a lot of the hate and anger and y'all are just getting along, and then bringing along a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend can kind of backslide you back into that situation where you're like, not jealous, but you know what you mean? Like, when you see somebody and you're just kind of pissed off that they're doing something happy but and good.
I said it before and I'll say it again. He is literally just sleeping with her. He's he's not giving her money. He's giving her money, but he's getting it back from TLC. So she's just a lay. Let's be real. Yeah. That's it. It's a wash. So he has no interest. It doesn't matter how much she changed or any of that. It's just a wash.
It's just putting him on TV to get free money. Or not free money, but to get his money back, like Car just said.
Well, yeah, and then a few followers on top of it. Yep. So it's a win-win. A few followers, and then he can tweet about or post about his business and maybe get a little extra money that way. Like, it's a business venture is the best way to explain it. He's a businessman. He saw a person that needed help, and he was able to invest a little bit of money into her and then get the money back. So he got a return on his investment by being on the show.
Yeah.
And now his name is a little more household. So maybe when he goes to city to city and they do their little talent calls, he can post his picture on the flyer and somebody might recognize him. And then a couple more people show up, you know, to the open call, and then they pay the fee to be represented by him. It's all a return on his investment, and I don't blame him for that. And it's like, I don't blame him for being involved with Natalie, because how many men are out there who are involved with women who like them, but they just don't want to marry them? But I think that a lot of women are fully aware that that's what's going on in the dating world, so this works. And I don't think Natalie has fully adjusted to the dating scene, especially in America. Our dating scene is really, really different. Like, I feel bad for anybody who's single in this dating scene, because if you're really looking for something serious and you want to get married, there's not really a place for you anymore.
Yeah.
You know, people are just out here having a good time and enjoying life, and you can't really depend on anybody to be exclusive anymore. That's not even really a thing. So I think that she's going into it like dating 20, 30 years ago, and she has the same expectations today. And I don't blame Josh for what he's doing. I mean, most men are out there doing it. It's just the only difference is the women are usually more aware and understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, and a lot less crazy.
Well, I mean, and even when if people are crazy, they're not Natalie crazy. Like, I feel like she's like a league of crazy of her own.
Yes.
Like, you look up crazy in the dictionary, and there's, like, crazy. And then you look up crazier, and then there's a picture of Natalie. Right? Yes. Like, she's like a whole league of her own crazy. Like, did you hear her metaphor of how she was a wild animal, and Josh kept poking her until she was bleeding, and then she tried to run away, and then he poked her again? And, like, what was she talking about?
I have no I was like, what?
And then after she said that she was a human being, she used that metaphor that she was a wild animal being poked. And I was like, well, which one is it?
Yeah.
Are you a bear? Are you a person? Are you a lion? Are you a rock? What the hell are you? Like, I'm trying to follow along. I can't follow along with anything. And then somebody brought up that she kept asking Josh what their status was. And I thought you would like this comment a lot, Kara, because they said, imagine a married woman asking a man what their status is. Because at this point, she was still married.
Yeah.
So we were like, imagine being married to another man, but you're asking some random guy why he won't give you a status for your relationship. Like, how about you work on the status of with your husband first?
Yeah.
And stop setting your expectation over here with him. Because why the hell would he need to go out of his way to label her as what she is if she's married to somebody else? Can you imagine?
Especially when she was just asking her husband to put a baby in her.
Literally.
I'm not sure, I'm not sure why that hasn't been brought up. I know it's going to get brought up. But I mean,
Mike's still got to come out. So
there's five parts. So I can't wait till Mike comes out and reveals to Josh that he was asked pretty recently from this tell-all to put a baby inside of this woman.
Yeah.
And not only that, get back together.
Yeah.
Because literally sitting at this tell-all, she's begging Josh to put a status on their relationship. And it's like, so you want to get back with your husband, with him, you want to be with Josh. Like, it's like a new goal every day. It's like she just wakes up one day and she sets a new goal. And then she forgets about the goal she set the day before. So let's just say that Mike did get her pregnant. Would she still be pursuing Josh? Like, does she set a goal to stick with it? I'm just really confused.
I I don't know what her train of thought is. I'm still shocked that she even went to a fertility clinic with her mother. Like, you have this. I just can't.
She's a Natalie. That's why she did it.
I mean, I'm not one to go off on people's mental state because, you know, I'm very aware of mental health and everything, but I don't think that there's anything wrong with her. I think that she's just denial. Like, I don't, is there like a, I mean, I don't know if there's a difference. Like, I don't think that she has like issues that can be treated in a hospital, I guess. I just think that she's just like, it's like delusion. Like, it's not like she's mentally crazy, but she's just delusional. Like, she lives on a planet that none of us have ever been on.
Yeah.
She's the resident of that planet, and then she was accidentally teleported here. Yeah. And now she's bringing all of the weird customs and rules of things here, and we're looking at her like, where did you come from? Because nobody on this planet acts like that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, well, what's wrong with you?
Yep. I just can't.
I think delusional is my best match for it. Like, she's, yeah. I don't think that if there's anything wrong with her. I think that she can probably do basic math, and she can write well, and she can read well, and she comprehends well. I just think she's a delusional person. She can look at a situation, the same situation that me and you and all of us can look at, and her understanding and outcome of that situation will be something that never crossed our mind. Yeah. Like, her mind goes places that normal people's minds don't. I don't think there's anything wrong with her. I don't think that, like, she was born with, like, missing parts of her mind. I just think that she's lived in a different world, like, for so long, and now she's given up on adapting to our world. She's just like, well, this is the world that I'm in, and y'all need to, like, confide to what I want.
Yeah.
And I just feel like she's never going to find a man in the state that she's in. Like, the way her demands for what she wants in a husband or what she wants in a guy, she goes on a first date and asks him how many kids they're going to have together. Like, I just think that she's the number one common denominator in why she can't find happiness. And I feel like if she can figure out why she's deterring men, she'll get it right, you know? Yeah. And it's like, you got to work on yourself first. And until she's ready to work on herself, if she even can, you know, that's the one thing holding her back. Because in her mind, she's like, oh, well, men are a-holes, they're dogs, they're liars, they're weak, they lie to me, they waste my time. But I feel like a lot of the issues are her, you know? Like, I'm looking back at her. Like, when you look in the mirror and you want to see your issues, they're right there, Natalie, they're looking at you.
You remember whenever Tim said that, was trying to break it down for her, and said that, that he gives her, that Josh gives her money to sleep with her. Well, you see how fast she got mad. The guilty dog always barks.
Yep.
So she knows that she's sleeping with him for money.
Yeah.
AKA sugar daddy. He's her sugar daddy.
And yeah, the way that she said, I fight so hard for my mom in my life. And I was like, so you mean fighting on your back? Because I was like, it's been like 5 years. We ain't seen you work. But you managed to get your mom over here. You managed to live in L.A. in a pretty decent beach apartment. You're driving around in somebody's car. Like, I need to know your definition of fighting really hard. Because if you were fighting really hard, like, you would have actually lifted a finger. Right? Yeah. Like, you've only manipulated different men into doing things for you. And I don't know, like, in her mind, again, in her mind, I think this is fighting really hard. And, you know, in my mind, hard work is something that I did myself. And I think a lot of people, especially Americans, we pride ourselves with being independent. We pride ourselves with everything that we have, we can control. Nobody can take it from us because it's ours. And I feel like she comes from a world where she doesn't want to do any work, but she wants all the rewards of hard work. And I think that's where her delusion comes in. Because she even said, she's like, oh, well, I'm not a prostitute. I worked really hard. And I was like, laying on your back for money is like, I'm not saying that it's not work. Sex work is work. But don't sit here and deny what you're doing as though it's below you. That's not fair either, right? Because she made it seem like sex work was below her. And I'm like, for the past 5 years, you've been laying on your back. You've been getting paid for it. We just call it how we see it, right? Like, that's what you've been doing.
Exactly.
I'm excited.
She's been laying on her back. We're on all fours. But she's definitely working.
Right. We don't know the position of choice, right? We don't know, but we know she working. Dana. So next week, Jamal and Louisa are finally coming back, and Jamal has some pretty strong
together
statements like for Tim. It's crazy because Louisa is saying what a lot of people have been saying a lot, but she's calling Tim out and saying that he's not into women. And, you know, we've had this conversation before with remember Jennifer, his first girl that he went over to see, and she wanted to sleep with him the night they got there. He was just, oh no, we're not. I don't even want to sleep in bed with her. And she still to this day swears that he's not into women. And now we have another woman saying that he's not into women. So now we're going to have to hear his explanation for that, because it's two women who've never met each other, who've never been at the same time, are saying the same thing about you. You know, that's a little peculiar, right? Like, they don't know each other. They didn't share information. The only thing in common is you, and they are saying the same thing. And what a lot of people are saying online is that they don't understand, if he is, why he's so adamant on denying it, because we don't care. Like, we're not gonna, we would never judge anyone for that. If he is, if anything, we would embrace it. I feel like when people are themselves and they come out, I feel like supporting people in that situation is the best possible thing that you can do, because it's difficult and it's something that people in the past were judged for, even disowned for. When people do it, we see that as a source of strength for them, and we want to be supportive. So I don't know. Like, it's impossible to know. I think that's one of the interesting things. We can never know what's going on in a person's mind. So even if he's straight or not, we'll never answer unless he wants to tell us, right? Well,
and I just have to see how he reacts to the accusation.
He used to react pretty badly.
He's going to be mad and turn the tables around like he always does. But I mean, we all seen it. Like, when he first come on the show with Jennifer, like, Jennifer was, she's gorgeous. You know what I'm saying? What man in his right mind wouldn't want to be with her? Like, seriously, come on. She was begging his man to be with her, and he kept denying her any kind of satisfaction.
And same with Louisa. She is drop-dead gorgeous, and I cannot wait for Jamal to just sweep her up on that stage.
Chantel said that she saw Jamal and Louisa together at a restaurant at the hotel. Guys, Kara and Dee Dee called that when episode one aired of the tell-all. They were like, there's something weird going on.
If they're not a couple, they're banging, hands down. Their chemistry, the way they look at each other, the way they laugh and giggle. And if you notice, like, I'm pretty sure Kara noticed, whenever for the tell-all for next week, I mean, when they were walking, they were like walking somewhere. I mean, you can tell their chemistry. Yeah. They're giving it away. If they're not in a relationship, they are banging each other.
Absolutely.
I don't want to be petty, but this is the perfect revenge relationship if it's true, right? Because Jamal's pissed off at Veronica. Obviously, Luis is sick of Tim and his crap. This would be the perfect revenge relationship. Not that I'm saying that people should be petty. I'm not saying that. But if you were going to do it, this was the perfect way to get back at the two people who you were pissed off at. And why not two good-looking people who have chemistry date or hook up or whatever? Well, I don't know what they're doing. But whatever they're doing, we don't have an issue.
They're banging, George. They banging.
I mean, that's probably what it is. But I'm not mad. I actually think this is great, because let's be real. Jamal was never going to have anything serious with Veronica, because Veronica is too involved with Tim. Because I said it when I was watching this episode. I was like, why are we still looking at Tim and Veronica sitting out here when they're not even the love interest for each other for this season? Like, why are they even still out here commenting on everybody else's relationship? Like, they barely dated anyone while they were on the season. It's like they're just here to be here. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, then they got rid of the people that could comment back because they didn't hear what they had to say. Oh, yeah. one more piece of information. So it has been announced that, I know you know most of it, but for The Last Resort, Robin, Sophie, Brandon and Julia, Gino and Jasmine, and they said Stacy and Florian from Darcy and Stacy. So does that mean that there's issues with Stacy and Florian? Because I didn't know that, or that Stacy and Florian are just anxious to get back on TV. Because it's been a minute since we saw them on Darcy and Stacy.
I think it's just to get back on TV because we follow each other on social media, and there is I see them happy all the time.
Well, yep. Yeah, you're right, in Miami a lot. And oh, somebody said that Darcy is also present. Not for a relationship or anything. She's not a cast on the show, but she's there to comment on whatever is going on with Florian and Stacy. That's what I was told.
It's just like Helene
got to be to get back on TV because they canceled their show and they were trying to do another show, a spinoff, and TLC canceled it. They don't want it.
Yeah. It's just like Kalani was there for Kalani.
Right. She wasn't there for any relationship situation or anything, but it is a good way, you know, to get your sister a paycheck, you know, right? Like, yeah. She's going to be there. She's going to get paid for the episodes. And I don't believe that there's any issues between Stacy and Florian. Even the other couples, we've seen their little makeshift fights and stuff, but I haven't seen anything between them. If anything, a better fit would have been Darcy and Georgie.
Yeah.
Because they're always having issues, right? Like they're fine one week and then they're fighting the next week. Then she kicks him out of the apartment one week, then he's back with her the next week. Like if anybody should have been on the show, it should have been Darcy and Georgie. Because I could never.
They were married a week and they separated.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I can never even keep up with them. And then before I can post that they broke up, they're in a picture together. So, like, I can't even keep up. Oh, yeah, Ariella and Biniam as well. Thank you, Geek in the Kitchen. They were also added on. So they're going to be on The Last Resort. I thought that they were, like, all the way broken up.
Yeah.
But they're going to be on, too. I'm not a huge fan of Ari and Benny. Okay, good. So, yeah,
But we already know they're not together because Benny's already started, he's been posting pictures and videos with his new girlfriend.
Yeah, I saw that on TikTok. I didn't know if everybody saw that, but yeah, he's been posting a lot. And is what racer, she's really, really beautiful, but she looked like she was like Indian. Am I right?
I think so.
She looks like a different culture. I don't know Indian or not, but yeah, I thought she was Mexican, Hispanic or something.
I don't know. Or it might be Armenian. She's really, really pretty. She's
really, really pretty.
So maybe she'll be there too. Because remember when Kalani and Asuelo were pretending to be together for The Last Resort and then Kalani got her a new man up there? Like it might be that type of situation too, where this is just their last big check before they call it quits.
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes, and maybe Benny's new love might show up and we can get a view of her. He can get a check too, right? Yeah. Oh, and so yeah, Dana, there is a rumor that Nikki Exotica is gonna be there with Igor Justin, but he's gonna be like on a tablet, with Angela and Michael. I haven't gotten any verification. I was looking for photos of her or her being in Arizona, and I can't find, but that is what people keep telling me.
Yeah.
So allegedly, we'll be seeing Nikki Exotica and Justin Igor try to fix their relationship or whatever, which there is no relationship, but whatever. You know, they'll be working on whatever they're working on. Their last check, probably with TLC.
Yeah.
I think Last Resort is like your last check, right?
Yeah.
Everybody just trying to get their last paycheck. That's all that is.
I mean, one last vacation, right? I mean, yep. I heard the resort they're at in Arizona is very nice, just like it was in Florida the last season. So one last nice vacation and check before they call it quits and move on.
Yep.
So I'm not mad at them. All right, so we're going to wrap up this one. We're going to come back Sunday for Happily Ever After, the fourth episode. Well, guys, we're three episodes through, and we didn't see Lauren and Alexi or Angela and Michael. So I think we're winning, right? We're definitely winning.
Angela and Michael completely off the preview.
Wait, say that again?
They took Angela and Michael completely off all the previews, all of the upcoming things. They're not on there anymore.
Interesting. So do you think that they're edited out, or do you think they're still going to be around?
I think they edited them out.
But they left Nicole and Mahmood.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That doesn't make sense. The one that went to jail for domestic violence.
Yeah, that's weird. That whole situation is weird. I think it's weird, though, because we're going to go into episode 4, and we saw the preview for episode 4, and we didn't even see Lauren and Alexa either.
Yep.
Yeah, Dana, because Lauren and
Alexa were supposed to be on this episode, and they weren't, because Lexi was upset and crying because Lauren was going back to do that plastic surgery stuff that she started doing. Oh, so, yeah. But they never showed them.
You're right. I remember that. Because he's sick of her doing these elective surgeries or whatever. Because, you know, there are risks. Unfortunately, we saw recently, there was one girl who was on Wildin' Out who passed away during a BBL or something. There is risks, you know. And I think a lot of women, they don't take it as seriously, you know, as they should, you know, especially if you're going to some, you know, fly-by-night country to get it done because it's cheap. You got to be careful. You know, when you got a husband and you got kids and a family, you can't just be going through these surgeries just to do it. You know, that's a risk that your family doesn't go through, you know? So, yeah, hopefully, I don't know, maybe they were edited out and we don't have to go through that, but unfortunately, we're still watching Nicole and Mahmood, so I don't know how much winning we're doing, but who knows? We're going to be on episode 4 next week, and then we're going to go into part 4 of the Single Life tell-all next week. And then the following week, that's number 5. And then after that, we're going to hop into Love in Paradise.
Yep.
Which I'm a little excited about because there's all new people, which
yes.
Makes me really happy. I don't know if I can
me see too.
How excited I am for that. I'm really excited for the new people. Some of the people reached out to me on Instagram, and they were like, hey, hopefully, you know, you'll cover our season. We will. We will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yes, I'm really excited. So make sure y'all guys are watching Love in Paradise. We're going to do a podcast on that as well. Yes, Dana, there is a couple from Italy. There is. All right, guys. Make sure you're following my co-hosts, Kar and Didi. They're tagging this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms, at George Masi, georgemasi.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Masi Show. And thank you for joining us tonight, and we'll talk to you guys really soon.
See you next week.
Bye. Bye.